Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. In some traditions it is called the Feast of the Three Kings, although we really don't know for sure how many of them there were. It is also sometimes called Christmas for the Gentiles. It is the part of the Christmas story that makes it clear that the incarnation was not just God's gift to the Jewish people, but to the whole world, including us. We are told that magi, the translation I just read called them wise men, but it's magi, and they came from the east to find the one who would be born to be king of the Jews, because they had seen the star that heralded the birth. Every time I read this story, I am struck by all the ways in which God speaks or communicates with people, some of which probably feel a little strange to us. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the Magi, who they were. Some people think that Magi is short for magician, but it is not. The Magi were priests in the Zoroastrian tradition. That was the religion of Persia, Iran in modern geography. They were people who sought God as they understood God, and they paid attention to anything that they perceived as a message from God. Zoroastrian magi would probably have had some interaction with Jewish priests who were hauled into exile in the 6th century BCE. But other than that, we really don't know why Zoroastrian priests from Persia would have had any interest in a king of the Jews. Right from the beginning of this story, we see three ways in which God communicated to these magi. First, by the star, the celestial sign. Secondly, by working in their minds as they came to the discernment that this star was special, that it was a sign of royal birth. And thirdly, God was working in their hearts and minds as they had the desire, in fact, the compulsion to search out this king in order to worship him. As priests from a foreign religion and culture, it is certainly a work of God that these magi sought to worship a foreign king. And pay attention to that word, worship. Because worship is something usually addressed to the deity, not to a king. The text that we read, the translation, talks about homage. Maybe that's a little bit closer to what would happen with a king. But somehow God had made plain to the Magi that the one whom they were seeking was one who was worthy of worship. So, having seen the star and discerned its meaning, they sent out on their journey, a journey that would have taken a minimum of 2 months and could have taken as long as 2 years. The reason that we're thinking 2 years is because Herod, wanting to know the exact timeline and finding out that, you know, it was maybe 2 years ago already they saw the star. So they could have been traveling around for a long time. Now, it's logical to assume that Jerusalem would be a good place to look for the King of the Jews. But that's not where they found Jesus. And in fact, their quest created absolute chaos in the court of Herod. You see, while Herod was considered the King of the Jews, he only got that position because the Romans appointed him to it and backed him up with their military power. So you can see how he might have felt a little threatened by the emergence of a new king of the Jews, and especially one that seemed to have heavenly endorsement, one that Herod somehow knew would be the Messiah, because he asks the chief priests and scribes where the Messiah is to be born. Herod called the priests and scribes, and now we see another way through which God communicates, and that is through Scripture. They searched the Scriptures to discover that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah. So that is where the Magi were sent, with strict instructions to report back to Herod. And of course, we know that Herod's intention had nothing to do with worship, but rather the destruction of a rival. As soon as the Magi left, interesting, they did not follow Herod's instructions. They did not follow what the scribes and priests told them. They found the star again, and they followed the star. And we are pretty sure that that star did not lead them to Bethlehem. But the text does say, to the place where the child was. A house, we're told, not a stable. But we really don't know where. Now, I want to point out that as long as the Magi were following the sign that God had given them, they were doing just fine. They got into trouble when human logic started interfering. I don't think that that star ever led them to Jerusalem. They just assumed that Jerusalem is where they would find the King of the Jews. And while the scriptures were correct in identifying Bethlehem as the birthplace of the Messiah, the interpretation, the assumption that was made that that's where the Magi would still find the child was flawed. But by following the star that God gave them, they did find the child, and they offered their worship and their gifts. Now, we don't know for sure how many Magi were in the group, but we do know that they offered three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Expensive gifts that each had a symbolic meaning. Now, these Magi were not cheapskates. If we assume that they gave a pound each of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that total value would have exceeded $6,000 at a time when that would have represented over 5 years' wages for an ordinary person. Big gift. But more importantly is the symbolic value of these gifts. Gold was a gift for a king, because in those days, hardly anyone other than a king would be rich enough to have any gold. Frankincense was burned as a religious sacrifice. It is a symbol of Jesus' priestly status. And myrrh was one of the spices used in burials. The gift of myrrh is considered to be a foreshadowing of Jesus' death, but definitely a weird gift to give a baby. Having offered the gifts, the Magi went home. And here is where we run into one more way in which God communicates: dreams. We remember that Herod had given the Magi strict instructions to return to him and to report what they had found. But they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and so they went back home by another route. Now, although creating dream journals has become a thing for some people, I think most of us often just ignore our dreams. Or if they are bad dreams, we put them down to having eaten something that we shouldn't have or watched some really bad television. But throughout the scripture, dreams have had great significance. Jacob dreamt of a ladder up to heaven. Joseph caught a glimpse of his destiny in his dreams and infuriated his brothers when he shared the dreams. Daniel interpreted the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar. Joseph was told in a dream that it was okay to take Mary as his wife because her child was of the Holy Spirit, not the result of some hanky-panky. And in today's text, we find God protecting the infant Jesus from Herod's treachery through a dream. In today's text, we see God speaking to people through natural signs, through scripture, through a dream, through the thoughts and intuitions of their hearts and minds. And so it becomes a day that invites us to reflect on just how it is that God speaks to us. And yes, God does still speak to people who are willing to listen. But like the Zoroastrian priests, we need to want to hear God. We need to open ourselves to the voice of God in whatever way it comes to us, to God's leading. We need to understand that while human logic and reason are often valuable, they do not necessarily always reflect the voice of God. We are told in Scripture, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." And so discernment always asks the question, what is God trying to say to us in this present moment? The Magi felt compelled to worship. God's Spirit continues to draw us into times and places of worship and adoration. The Magi went home. We are told that they felt joy upon seeing the child Jesus. And I trust that they carried that sense of joy and wonder as they returned to their families. We know nothing of how this experience affected them for the rest of their lives, but I'll bet it did. Maybe one of the questions worth reflecting on is this. When we go home from our times of worship, what is it that we carry in our thoughts, in our hearts, and in our minds? Does the worship of a Sunday inspire prayer and worship as we move into the rest of the week? Epiphany is about the manifestation of Christ in human experience. And my prayer is that Epiphany is something that we continue to experience in our daily lives as we walk with God. Amen.